Okay, Sean, I want to say today's daf is Sukkah daf Chaf Hey. A jam-packed daf today that we are definitely not going to do justice in the 20-plus minutes that we're going to spend learning it, but one of the more exciting dafim in Shas with a lot of relevant topics. So let's see it. We're here on Chaf Dalet Amud Beis at the bottom, right? We've just quoted Rav Acha bar Yaakov. It said that any mechitza that is not able to stand in a ruach metzuya, in a normal wind, so it's not considered to be a mechitza. We brought a couple of proofs against them, and we resolved them basically by saying that in all the scenarios, you tie down the item in question, right? We bought a bunch of cases where there was perhaps some flimsy material that we judged as a mechitza, and the Gemara said a couple of times that, no, it must be where you tie it down, and it doesn't sway in the wind. So the last one we had said was that if Ilan HaMesach al Aretz, it ain't nofo gavoh min Aretz Shlosha Tvachim, if you have like some sort of weeping willow type tree, and the branches go down, if it swoops over, right, it kind of like makes a tent with the branches, and it comes down close enough to the ground within three tzvachim, then you can carry underneath it on Shabbos. It's considered to be a valid mechitza because of lavud. Doesn't it move back and forth? So the Gemara had said again that yes, it's where you tie down the branches. So we're here, two lines up here on Chaf Dal Amud Beis. Ihachi. The Gemara says, Ihachi, if you tell me that the case is with this weeping willow type thing, that you tied the branches so they don't move, so nitata bakula, you should be able to carry underneath all of it. Now, what does that mean? Well, basically, there's a, obviously, it's also midaraisa to carry on Shabbos. And you are allowed, obviously, to carry as well through Rosh Hashanah, through a private property. What about a chatzer? What about a courtyard? So, Chazal were gozer, that if it's a courtyard that is not enclosed by a fence for purposes of living, so they capped the space where you're allowed to carry underneath it at a base sasayim. If you remember, that was from Shabbos and also from Erevin as well. So they capped it at a base sasayim, as opposed to a place where you are going to live, either a house or, let's say, maybe even a field where people are going to put down tents and live, where there is no minimum shear, right, as long as it's surrounded by walls and it can be as big as you want. So the Gemara is asking here, why can't you carry underneath the, if you're telling me that you reinforced this tree with some branches and tied it down to make it a sturdy mechitzas, why can't you carry, why does it have the two base sasayim, the two limit for carrying it? Because Alama, why did we say, that we learned that Amar Huna Breda of Yeshua in Metaltim Abo Ela Beis Asayim, and Meshuma Ha'davi Dirisha Tashmisha La'avir, Beis Asayim. Right, we learned that this type of tree, right, let's say, even if it's a massive, massive tree that for whatever reason would be, let's say, three Beis Asayim, you still can only carry within two of it, right? If you're telling me that you really made serious Mechitza walls, right, why would it be considered to be an open courtyard, not for living, as opposed to, you made real walls there, why can't you live underneath that tree? Right? It should be sturdy, it should be something that is hukaf ladira, something that is made for living in. So my answer is, mishum dahave dira shetashmisha la'avir, because this tree, right, is really, it's not really for the space underneath it, it's really for the outside space, meaning what people would do with this type of tree, is that that people would look and watch the surrounding areas. Maybe you have to guard a field, maybe you have to watch your sheep or whatever. So the tree itself is not really made for, what's it called, for living underneath it, and therefore kol yirush tashmish la'avir mitaldum bo el beis asayim, right, if it's not made for living, right, so then it's just made for the outside, meaning it's not made for the space inside of it, it's made for the air outside of it, so that's not going to be considered a place to live, and therefore it's limited to the base sasayim on Shabbos. Okay, tashma, another proof finally, just to try and knock out Rav Acha bar Yaakov's Shita, which is going to be unsuccessful, and we'll be left with Rav Acha bar Yaakov Shita, that a mechitza that does not moves in a ruach metzuya is not a good mechitza. Shavas Batel. Let's say you set up your shvisa, right? If you remember from Erevin as well, a person sets up his residence on Shabbos. He did it on a tel. A tel is a mound or a hill, and this is obviously much smaller than a hill. Shehu gavoa asara. It's 10 tefachim high. Vu me'arba amos. Ad base sasayim, and it's from four amos to base sasayim in width or area space, probably more accurate. So vechein benekashu amod asara. So too, if it's in a ditch that's 10 tefachim down, vume arba amos ad base sasayim. And again, if it can be as long or as wide or as big area wise from four amos to a base of sayim. So the halacha is, and even a further question, v'chem kama katsura, and this is really the point that we're making, v'chem kama katsura v'shibolas mikifos osa, and so too if you're in a field, and for whatever reason, right, you've reaped some of the grain, but there are other grain that is still there, and the stalks are at least ten tvachim high, and that's meaning they make a mechitza, they make a proper mechitza. So mahalach es kula v'chutza la alpayim amah. The halacha is you're allowed to walk throughout the entire area, the ditch or the field, and more accurately is what we're using. And then you get an extra 2,000 amahs. Right? If you remember the halacha was that on Shabbos, right, you could kona shavisa in a certain place. You set up your Shabbos residence in a certain place, and you get to walk in that entire place, whether it's a city or in this case it's a ditch. And then you add on another 2,000 amos. So in this case, where you're in the field and you have all the stalks all over the place, so you're allowed to walk in that area which is surrounded by the stalks. Let's say, you know, a little circle or a square in your field. So you're allowed to walk throughout that entire area, plus another 2,000 amos outside that area. Afagav, the kalaz of Asi. Even though the grain or the stalks obviously move back and forth in the wind, so apparently we see that even though you have a mechitza that moves back and forth in the wind, that still is considered a good mechitza. That's against Rebbe Chaya. Yaakov said, "My answer is once again, Hasam Nami, the Aved Lebuhutza V'Dafna." Right? Again, once you tie it must be a case where you tied it down so that it doesn't actually move back and forth. Okay, Mishnah, new Mishnah, Shluchei Mitzvah, Paturim Min HaSukkah. We have three halachos in our Mishnah. First of all, Shluchei Mitzvah is Paturim from Mitzvah, people going to do a Mitzvah. This is one of the main sugyas of Osig Mitzvah, Potzer in the Mitzvah. So people going to do a Mitzvah are Potzer from a Sukkah. If you look at Rashi, fascinating examples, a lot of literature on why Rashi gave these examples. What's an example of a Mitzvah? Holche Bederech Mitzvah, Kigon, like, either Lilmo Torah, in order to go learn Torah, which is interesting, because usually we assume Osig Mitzvah, Potzer in the Mitzvah applies to everything but Talmud Torah, because we learn in order to do mitzvahs, but okay, right, obviously, maybe perhaps Pasha says you're going to learn Torah, you're not actually learning Torah yet, although we'll learn in a second, you should really be learning when you're traveling, okay, whatever. L'hakbil p'nei rabo, to go greet your Rebbe, or p'nei shvuyim, right, very interesting cases that Rashi brings. All right, either way, there's a lot to see there. So shluchim mitzvah p'turim in a sukkah, right, they are potter from the sukkah. Cholin u'misham shehen, p'turim in a sukkah, someone who's sick, and people who are serving those people, they're also potter. And ochlim shosin areichutz the sukkah, and a person is allowed to eat something, some sort of temporary eating, right, as we'll have to define that. But if you're not making a sudos, then you're allowed to eat outside of the sukkah. Again, three halachos, three that are interdependent of each other, right? Not based on one another. Minani Mili, how do you know that someone who is doing a mitzvah is potter from another mitzvah, is potter from sukkah? The Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, b'shivtecha b'veisecha. Right? You have to, again, say kriyashma, b'shivtecha, when you're dwelling, b'veisecha, in your house. Prat, that excludes lo osik b'mitzvah. Right? That excludes someone who's doing a mitzvah. And you should say kriyashma when you're traveling. Prat l'chasan, that excludes a chasan that Gemara darshens out, who is obviously not thinking about doing mitzvahs. Mikan amru hakonis sepasula pater v'zalmana chayiv. And this is where we learn that someone who marries a virgin is pater from saying kriyashma, and someone who marries a widow is not. So the Gemara says, my mashma, where did you get that? From the pasuk, right? Again, those are very nice drushes that you just threw out. But where do you see that from? So, Amar Avuna, kederech, ma derech rishus, av kol rishus. We compare it to a journey. A journey, right? A person is going, right? Usually is going on an optional journey, right? A person takes a trip. So just like a person is, right? What did we say? We said, but lech tcha baderech, just like a derech is optional, so too, you have to say kriya shema when you're doing something optional, right? Lafuke, to exclude, haidu v'mitzvah, azuk. If you are doing something for a mitzvah, then he's not obligated to say kriya shema, because osik b'mitzvah, pater min ha-mitzvah. And the Gemara says, mi lo askinan tekavol d'var mitzvah. But the Gemara says, well, why can't you be going on a journey to do a mitzvah? Right, the Hakam Rachman Alikri, and the Torah says you should read the Kriya Shema. Right? How do you know a derech, right, is optional? Right, there are many types of journeys. Right, some journeys are to to do a mitzvah. Some journeys are, you can take a vacation. It's a rishus. So Gemara says, so in, how do you know that we're talking about a rishus? Okay, in kein lemekra b'shevus uvelachas, because it says b'shivtecha uvelachtecha, right? And your personal type of, let's say, journey. So my b'shivtecha, right? Instead of saying b'shevus uvelachas, right? When you dwell in your house and when you go on a journey, it says your journey in your dwelling, right? My b'shivtecha uvelachtecha. That's b'lachad didcha hudim b'chayeves b'lachas da mitzvah. Pituras. Right, that, again, if you're doing your own type of activity, that's when you're chayv, but if you're doing a different activity that you're not, it's not your own, meaning you're doing a mitzvah, so then you're going to be potter. So Gemara says, right, well, if that's true, right, so marrying an almana, right, a widow, right, also is should be potter, right? Why do we say that only a basula, if you marry a basula, you're potter? Why not be potter from Kriyat Shema if you marry an almana? It's also should be a mitzvah. So the Gemara says, konis is a basula. That's also the whole discussion, right? What kind of is marriage a mitzvah? That's right, if you learn Kiddushin, right, that's a whole hack. But okay, Bashas is, right, you're doing a mitzvah when you marry an almana as well. So the Gemara says, Kornis abasula tarid, Kornis almana lo tarid. So the Gemara adds a qualification here. You have to be doing a mitzvah and you have to be tarid. Right? That if a person marries a virgin, so then he's focused on some issues that may arise, right? If a person marries a widow, right, the same issues do not necessarily pop up. Right, the Gemara says, well, if you're telling me that the requirement here is that you're preoccupied with something, so if that's true, right? Let's say you lose a boat full of merchandise, right? You're probably pretty upset, right? How can I be the potter? You should be potter. It says, like, Kriyat Shema, do mitzvahs in that case. If you tell me, yeah, you are potter, it's not true. If I'm a Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda, I'm a Rav. This is talking about it's not aval, avil, and avil is chayav in all mitzvos except from tefillin. Right, because the tefillin is called a pe'er, which is a glorifying thing. It's not shaykh for someone who's an avil to glorify himself, but all other mitzvos, right, he's chayav in. Right, we see that person, right, Rahman Islam, loses a relative. Right, it's obviously much more distressing than losing merchandise. Right, so you tell me that you are chayav in Kriyat Shema, you're chayav in all the mitzvos. So why over here, by marrying a besula, would he be potter from Kriyat Shema? So Gemara says, ha'cha tarid tirda the mitzvah, ha'asam tarid tirda derishus. Because here, right, the mitzvah is the tirda, is the concern, right? He has to be, he's preoccupied with fulfilling the mitzvah. But there, by the case of let's say the ship or the person, the mourning is, well, that's a really good question. But it, certainly, someone who loses his merchandise on the ship, so then that's obviously it's optional, quote unquote. Bother, right? Obviously, he's very bothered, but it's something that was optional. It was not necessarily, no mitzvah. Right? In terms of the besulas, and then he was chayiv. He's obligated to perform a mitzvah, and then he has to be bothered. So therefore, he's bothered. I've also been a mitzvah. The Gemara asks, 1 second, why are we learning it? We just spent, a few minutes teaching us the mockers from Kriyat Shema. That's where we learn Osig B'mitzvah, Pater Min HaMitzvah, Me'asam Nafka. We learn it elsewhere. But this is a pasuk by Pesach Sheni. The Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, Vayi An Hashem Asher Ayit Tmeim LeNevesh Adam. There were people who were Tamei, and they couldn't do the Pesach that Bnei Yisrael were going to bring the Korban Pesach in the Midbar, and certain people were Tamei, and they couldn't bring it. And you'll see, right, as the Gemara is going to go through who these people were, there's one sheet that it says, that they were dealing with a Meis Mitzvah, which is a mitzvah. And Moshe told them to do the Meis Mitzvah and not do Korban Pesach. So, we're going to get to that in a second. The Gemara first says, Osam Anashim Mihayu. Who were the people who were Tamei, right? Why would they be Tamei in the Midbar? So the Gemara first suggests that Nose Aron Shal Yosef Hayu, David Rabbi Yosef Gluli. Could be that we were talking about the people who were carrying Yosef's coffin, right, to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Kiva says, it was Mishal Be'al Tzafan Hayu, right? The two brothers of Nadav and Avihu, right? Shayu Oskim and Nadav and Avihu, right? Moshe commanded them, right, to, oh, they were cousins, I'm sorry. with the cousins who are dealing with the burial of Nadav and Aviv, taking them out of the Mishkan, right, when they were consumed by the fire, right, Parsha Shmini. So they were the ones who were Tami. Rabbi Yitzchak Omer, this is the one that we're going to use really for our discussion. He says, what do you mean? All these both of these scenarios, right? They knew when the Korban Pesach was going to be brought, right? They could have become tahor, right? You could have scheduled it out. You could have figured it out. Okay, we're going to put Yosef's, aron down for a bit. We're going to become tahor, spend the 7-8 days, whatever it was, to become tahor. You could have planned it out. So Ella rather says, Rabbi Yitzchak, Oskim b'meis mitzvah hayu. No, they were dealing with the meis mitzvah. And Shechal Shri Shalem Leos Be'er Pesach. And the seventh day of the purification of the Tara process fell out on Erev Pesach. Basically, they missed it by a day. I mean, the ability to bring the Korban Pesach. Shneamar, as the Pesach says, V'lo yachlu lasus Pesach b'yomahu. They couldn't do the Pesach on that day. B'yomahu in yicholu masos, halamachar yicholu masos. It was only that day that they couldn't do the Korban Pesach. And they could have done it the next day. So that's the makor that we see that osik mitzvah part of mitzvah. Because what happened, right? They found the mitzvah 7 days before Erev Pesach. They knew the schedule, right? They knew that by dealing with this mitzvah, right, they were going to miss Korban Pesach. So apparently, right, we see that obviously they dealt with the Meis Mitzvah and they were Tameh, and then they asked Moshe what to do. Obviously, right, and again Pesach Sheni, he told them to wait a month and bring it in on the 15th of Iyar. But the deal is, what's going on? I mean, why do you need the Makar by Kirishma? You have a Makar over here to teach me Osei B'Mitzvah, Pater B'Mitzvah, right, by Pesach Sheni. So Gemara says Tzricha. Really, we need both sources to teach me that someone who's doing a mitzvah, but he's Pater from another mitzvah. The Yashmin and Hasam Ksif, you would have told me over there by Pesach Sheni, and Mishad Below Matas Marchiva the Pesach. Because they weren't actually obligated to call him Pesach, right? They just looked at the calendar and said, well, in 7 days, we're going to have an issue. Right? So then you might have thought, That's the only scenario where you can do a mitzvah if it's going to cost you another mitzvah is if you're not yet chayiv in that second mitzvah. But over here, by the case of getting married, right, the mother's man kriyishma, right, the person's getting married at night, right, it's time to read kriyishma, you have two chayivim coming together, emalah. So you might not say that there's no ptur, meaning that you really should stop the first mitzvah to do kriyishma. So Gemara says, tzricha. So therefore, we need that source by Korban Pesach. V'yashmin in hacha, and if you would have only taught me over here by kriyishma, p'shum delak karis, because that has nothing to do. There's no karis involved, right? If you miss the Korban Pesach, right, a person's chayiv karis, only two mitzvos asay that you chayiv karis for, right? For not bringing the Korban Pesach, excuse me, enough for not getting a bris milah. So you might have thought, in case of karis, right, then you should, osu b'mitzvah is not pater min mitzvah. By kriyishma there's no karis, right? By the either game, right? So you might have thought that you don't need to do, you should, right? You may not necessarily have to do the mitzvah. And therefore, right, that's the only case we're going to say, osu b'mitzvah, pater min mitzvah. Aval hasam, but over there, the ikar karis, same alo. Maybe in the case where you have an issue of karis, and you're faced with two options, whether to either bury the meis mitzvah or bring the Korban Pesach, well, if you don't bring the Korban Pesach, that's an iser karis. So maybe you should forego the meis mitzvah and we wouldn't say osu b'mitzvah pater min mitzvah, that we would forego the meis mitzvah and then you should bring the Korban Pesach. So therefore, tzricha needed to teach me, right, in both cases. Okay, gufa. Let's go back to what we said earlier. Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda, Amar Rav, Avel Chayev Kol Bechol Mitzos Amurz Batorah Chutz Mitz Tefillin. Sharei Nemar Bahen Pe'er. Avel is Chayev in all the mitzvos except for Tefillin. It says the word Pe'er, it says it's a glorification. So Mida Amar Le'Rachmana Le'Cheskel, Pe'er Chachavish Alecha. Right? From the fact that Akosh Baruch Hu, how do you learn these halachos? Where do you get that from? Where is Tefillin called Pe'er? I don't remember the Pasuk saying, Vayul Tefos Meni Necha, the Pe'erecha or something. It doesn't say that in the parsha of Tefillin over there. So where do you get that from? So the pasuk says by Yecheskel, the Kosh Baruch Hu told Yecheskel when he was in Avel, it said Pe'erecha Chavish Alecha, that you should glorify yourself with your glory, meaning with your Tefillin. And atu de bechayevis, and what Hashem was saying that you, Yechezkel, you should wear tefillin, that's an exception. Meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yechezkel, right, to put on tefillin, even though he was an avel, right? Implying, you learn from there, right, avakuli alma p'tiri, that the default position is that an avel would be potter from tefillin, v'hanimili v'yom rishon, and that's only tachlis on the first day, dechtiv, v'achrisa, kiyomar, it's a bitter day, right, the first day, right, that's obviously that's the most difficult day. Whenever a person passes away, that's the first day a person is potter from tefillin. He says as well, he explains that an Ovel, right, is chayiv in Sukkah. So the Gemara says, the obvious question, well, pshita, obviously, right? Didn't you just tell me he's chayiv in all mitzvos? So he says, you might have thought, ho, v'amar rabbi abba bar zav d'amar rav, mitztar put him in a Sukkah, hainami mitztar hu. So you might have thought, this is something else. I mean, since there's a p'tur of mitztar, right, we have the pretty well-known p'tur, that if for whatever reason you're upset or uncomfortable in the sukkah, so then you're potter from the sukkah. So you would have thought, the ovel is pretty potter. Right? So Gemara says, Kamash Malan, so therefore it teaches us that no, he's actually chayev. Hanimili tzara d'memeila. That's when do we say that a person is potter? Right? That's only if tzara d'memeila. It's a tzar from the sukkah itself. Right? It's raining or it smells bad or whatever Rashi says. Right? But avel hacha. But here, where's the tsar coming? The tsar is coming from an outside source. And therefore, he is the person who is upset. The mistar nafshe, he's the one who is upset. And he's required to control himself. Right? Very difficult to understand why the Gemara would say it like that. You in the Chora, you can make it a much better argument, perhaps. Again, you might have thought at first glance that you can control yourself in terms of your grief or your pain or your anguish, quote unquote. Well, suck it up. If it's raining, suck it up, right? Okay, so you got some raindrops in your soup. Okay, suck it up. It's not such a big deal, right? It's just a little bit of water. You might have thought that would be much easier for a person to suck it up as opposed to someone, Rachman Al-Tzlan, who's lost a loved one is in an avelus. But Kamash Malan, the Gemara says that really the chiluk is where the tsar is coming from. If the tsar is coming from the sukkah, then you're potter. If the tsar is coming from some outside source, so then you just got to deal with it. And that tsar is not inherent to sukkah, so therefore you'll still be chayiv. Just a technical note: how can a person be an avel on the first night of sukkah? If Rachman Al-Tzlan, a person loses a relative, so the halacha is that avelus is canceled. The yomtiv cancels an avelus. So it must be, by definition, it must be where someone was nifter, the relative was nifter on the yontif itself, right? And that's that person is observing the mili ditzina, right? The halachas of avelus in private. Okay, either way, that's just a parenthetical note. From Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda, right? Another halacha, right? We have a couple of these already from Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda. In the name of Rav, Chosin v'Shoshvinin v'Chopnei Achupa Pturim min Asukah. The Chosin and everybody, the Shoshvinin are the people who help out the groom, and the entire Chopnei Achupa is that everybody hanging out, all the guests, they are Pater from Asukah, Kol Shiva, all 7 days. Now this is not all 7 days of Asukah, this is all 7 days of the Shavu Brachos. And obviously, right, a person is not obviously, but the halacha is that a person is not allowed to get married on Sukkot itself. In Marvin Simcha v'Simcha, we don't combine Simchas, so it kind of has to be there. You got married between, let's say, Yom Kippur and Sukkot, and then so he's part there, part there from Sukkah, right, all 7 days of the Simcha. So the Gemara says, my time. Well, what's the reason? Why is that? Mishum deboy lemichdi. We'll have the word yichud in a second. This doesn't mean yichud. This means to rejoice, right? If you look at Rashi, michdi, that Rashi is like six or seven lines up. So the michdi lesmoch, because they need to be happy. Pashas is right. It's very difficult to rejoice in the sukkah, rejoice properly with everybody in the sukkah. So the Gemara says, v'leichlo b'sukkah, v'lichdu b'sukkah. I understand. The Gemara says, well, why can't you be happy and be mesameach chas and kala in the sukkah? So Gemara says, ein simcha ella b'chuppah. Because really, you can only be mesameach by the chuppah. Now, the chuppah here does not mean the little canopy you use at a wedding. Here, I mean, it was the minhag back in the day that there would be a place where the chas and kala would live, right, for those 7 days of Shavuot Brachos, and that's called the chuppah. And that's, again, they would have people celebrate with them, etc. So there, right, you have to, it's impervious, it's very crucial that there be simcha and rejoicing in the sukkah itself. So the Gemara says, okay, v'lichlu b'sukkah v'lichlu b'chuppah. So it's just, I understand. So just have your meals in the sukkah, and then you can party in the chuppah, in the place where they would live. So the Gemara says, ain't simcha el b'machom suda. Okay, yeah, because the simcha, right, is not really true, as we all Jews know, right? It's happy, now let rejoice, now let's eat. Right, the simcha is only full when you have a proper suda. Okay, v'lavdu chuppah b'sukkah. So why can't they make their 7-day residence, right, where the Chas and Kal live, for the Shavuot Brachos, why do you make it in a sukkah? No, we have all these fancy sukkahs, right, all the hotels built, right, as Pasha says, you should be able to build a sukkah where they can live and rejoice and have meals, etc. So Abaye says, Mishum Yichud, because you're going to have issues of Yichud, because very interesting, that if you look at Rashi, the Stam Sukkah, Hayu Osim Begah Goseyan. Back in the day, they used to make the sukkahs on the roof, Fein Derech Biyav Yetziah Sham L'Rab, Tomid. And it wasn't very easy to get in and out. V'shema, sometimes yard a chasen lasos tzrocha. Maybe the chasen would go down to do whatever, right? To do some sort of business, whatever. V'siachir acher emakala. There'd be some sort of yichud issue, right? There'd be someone else who's up there, right, in their sukkah, and there might be some yichud issues. In a chanami, usually there's no problem of yichud when baila be'ir, when the husband is around. Okay, so you have to get around that scenario, but basically there's a yichud issue, but the way the sukkahs were built back in the day, right, so you couldn't just have the chuppah, right, the place where they would live, right, in a sukkah. But Rava says, no, mishum tzar chasan, because the chasan would be upset, it would be difficult for him to live in a sukkah. Why? If you look at Rashi, shemakom tzar, because the place is narrow, u'basuach, right, and open, right, she'en la ela shalosh defanos, because Pasha says that it would only have three walls, u'bosh l'sachek im kolaso, and he'd be embarrassed to Lasachik probably means to play or joke around with his kala. Now, the first time I read this Rashi, it brought to mind the pasuk that says that, if you remember, that when Yitzchak went to Gerar, right, he told Avimelech that Rivka was his sister, but then Avimelech, right, peeked in the window and he saw that Yitzchak is mitzachik as Rivka Yishto, that he was acting like husband and wife with Rivka, right, his wife. That word, I thought that was the same word. So I looked it up. It's actually not the same word. That's not what Rashi is hinting to over here. That word is mitzachek with a tzadi. Here, it's lasachek. It's schok is like the joke around. Meaning, he'll feel it's uncomfortable when you have all the sukkahs up there. You have an open wall. It's uncomfortable to talk in a lighthearted manner, to have a good time, to relax, to play a game, to joke around. Right? It doesn't seem to be hinting to anything more, let's say, intimate. Okay, so two opinions why you can't make the chuppah in the sukkah. Abaye says because yichud. Rava says because tzar chasen, the chasen will be upset. Right, there's a mitzvah for him to be misameach. Right, you have to be happy during those 7 days. May be nayu. What's the nafkamina between the two? So you can be nayu. Dishkichi inshi. Then nothing via the chasen. Right, it could be. Right, the nafkamina simply is that if the roof is populated by a lot of people and there's no yichud issue. Right, the madam rishim yichud leka. Right, according to Abaye, he says it's a yichud issue. So then there's no problem. The madam rishim tzar chasen. Well, if there's a lot of people up there on the roof, right, with all the sukkahs, and it's a very crowded, so then, right, Ika, right, then the chasen's still going to be uncomfortable to hang out with his wife and relax. I'm Rabbi Zera, ana achli b'sukkah b'chadi b'chuppah. Rabbi Zera said, you know, all this concern is no problem. I was able to eat in the sukkah and rejoice in the chuppah, right, and hang out and have a good time, and there was no problem. But kol shekein d'chadi liboy, and even more so that my heart was joyful, and it was joyous, d'ka avidna tarti, I was even so happy that I was able to fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah and still be mesamech my wife and have this seven days of simcha as normally, right, expected. Okay, shkoyach kol d'rabosei, we'll invite in the Halakha Shas tomorrow. Have a great day or night, depending on where you're listening to this.